When I talk of removing barriers to communication, who received what information through whom is an important aspect of communication in an organization. Definitely, the medium is important, but more than that, who is the concerned person who is looking into it? That means who's the one who's actually giving particular instructions? There's a decline in sales of goods. There is a decline in sales of goods. We have had a meeting. After the meeting is done, I, as a person at top management, will give specific instructions to each person in my team. Since I'm a person at top management or a senior person, everybody is more than willing to accept my views. Everybody is more than willing to implement the thoughts and suggestions and ideas so that we see that there is progress and we realize that and understand that whatever are our flaws, FLAWS flaws or mistakes, we improve on that so that there's an increase in sales. The information in an organization has to pass through official channels, which I discussed in the previous slide when we use the word channels. No one would like to receive major company information from anybody other than one's supervisor. You know, the very fact that you have one person at top management instructing, delegating tasks, advising, then you kind of start feeling comfortable with that person to be able to relate and move forward. You also feel that sense of trust through the person. And the person at top management has the ability to influence you, your mindset, your thought process. The person at top management also has the ability to let you understand how to move about various problems, how to deal with them, how to cope with various challenges. So what happens when the person at top management is giving these kind of instructions as to how to cope with challenges? What happens? It kind of gives that sense of authority to that person to communicate with the team members. And that is something that will be very important for the subordinates, because they feel that sense of belongingness there. A senior expects that such information should be provided to him or her first before it is known to his junior or her juniors, right? Very important here. I mean, see, hierarchy is something which is very important. A lot of people, in fact, feel that sense of identity with that designation or status. And I personally think nothing wrong, because the moment you connect to that designation status to which you actually have, it kind of makes you feel that you have the authority power to do certain things which are within your purview and to also do certain things for the betterment of yourself in terms of your career and for others. So one way out here is actually that you improve your communication skills so that you're able to go through all these aspects. Overcoming barriers on part of the receiver's barriers are very important for effective dialogue. When I say overcoming barriers on part of the receiver's barriers, that means the receiver may have a lot of barriers. And these barriers have to be looked into. So the receiver, if the receiver has barriers, then the receiver may not be able to understand the message appropriately. Why? Because a lot of barriers are already governing the mind due to differing levels of understanding. As it is, there are barriers which are self-created. Then there are barriers which are due to differing thought processes. Then there are barriers whereby you ideally are not able to really handle the opposite person because you just don't get along. So, lot of aspects make it difficult to you difficult for you to move forward. Next is prejudice. A receiver may not accurately understand, interpret, or respond to a particular message because of preconceived notions and barriers in the mind. When I say prejudice is some sort of biasness. Prejudice may be some sort of, say you've had a dispute with somebody, okay? So you have that kind of negative feeling or even hatred towards that person. So you're very one-sided when I talk of prejudiced. Now, being prejudiced can really be a problem for you, not for the opposite person. Even if you show it in your behavior, it's going to be a problem for you. Because your prejudiced mind is a very biased mind, which only looks in one direction. It is not an open mind. It has a lot of information which is highly negative. When I say it has, means a prejudiced mind. So when your mind is filled with negative thoughts, how do you really feel? That's what it is. Then when I talk of overcoming poor listening skills by concentrating enough of what is being said. When I talk of overcoming poor listening skills, that means if I concentrate enough on what is being said, then that will help me overcome my skills. Overcome poor listening skills. So I need to concentrate and to be receptive to what is said by keeping an open mind. Very important. Have a mind whereby you are kind of open towards various aspects. Don't have a closed mind. When I talk of ability to listen effectively, also try to be impartial. Do not become irritated and do not let the person's habits or mannerisms distract you from what they are really saying. When I say that try to be impartial, you know what? As far as possible, be impartial. What is impartial? Don't let anyone impact you at that level whereby you get very flustered, you get very agitated, you get very distracted because you don't like that person or you don't like something about that person. Everybody has a different way of speaking. Some people, for example, are more nervous. Okay? Some people are shy, some have regional accents, some make excessive arm movements, some people like to pace whilst talking. That means they are speaking in a manner which is more towards being slow, being calm, explaining in a simple manner, but going very slow. So each person is different. How you view each person, how you're able to absorb each person's behavior, that is what is very important. Focus on what is being said and try to ignore the styles of delivery. So, when I say focus on what is being said and try to ignore the style of delivery, each person's delivery style in terms of communication may impact you. Don't get into that. What is the information that is being conveyed? What is it that they are saying? Why don't you focus on the gist of the message and the message instead of saying, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that. That doesn't make sense. That is going to bother you. So learn to keep yourself aside from all these thoughts which really make no sense in terms of you as an individual. You will realize that this is taking you back. We all want to move forward in life, right? Now we talk of feedback, a major component in effective communication. A person giving and receiving feedback needs all skills of communication, especially listening and a great degree of self-control. When I talk of feedback, feedback is the response or reaction to a situation or a person. Why a great degree of self-control? So first and foremost, you need to be an active listener. Secondly, when I talk of feedback, especially if someone says that, I wanted the file on my table this morning at 9, you did not give it. So you will probably feel this is negative feedback. So you have to be very calm and apologize since it is your mistake. But feedback requires self-control because sometimes it may not be your mistake and you're dealing with an aggressive personality and that may bother you. So that is when it can be a problem for you. So you need to understand that you should have that great degree of self-control. You need to refrain from answering back. You need to refrain from giving a negative reply. You need to be absolutely balanced and poised to be able to accept negative feedback. Those who cultivate feedback skills reap rich benefits. Have the ability to take negative as well as positive feedback. Have the ability to understand that if you're given negative feedback, it is for your betterment. Yes, it is human nature to think that very often you're given negative feedback and that may bother you. That may be human nature. But at the same time, you need to introspect and accept your own mistakes. When you accept your own mistakes, you will improve. And if I am giving myself space to improve in life, then that'll let me move forward. Seek and arrange for feedback by allocating adequate time and opportunity. Inviting questions from the receiver is a common method of getting feedback. When I say seek and arrange for feedback by allocating adequate time and opportunity, what does this mean? That whenever you get negative feedback too, like even today, if I get negative feedback for anything, I always say, okay, please, can you guide? How should I improve? What should I do? Of course, I will have my own ways and thought process to improve. But I yet feel that how should I really improve? Right? Because what happens is that the very fact when you're saying this, you're accepting yourself. And when I accept myself, then I'm having that confidence, positive self-esteem, and that will make my communication even better with others. How you feel from within, that will impact your communication with others. Remember that. So that is something that needs to be looked into. But this method may not prove effective if the receiver has not understood your message to ask you intelligent questions. Many a times receivers have no courage to admit that they failed to absorb what was being explained. See, a lot depends on the mindset. So when I say a lot depends on the mindset, one set of people, they can easily absorb and give feedback. Another set of people, they find it difficult to absorb. Now, when you can't absorb information, what information am I holding? No information. And thus, no feedback. So, it all depends on you. And according to me, at least, very often you may not be able to absorb information because you're not focused enough. Now, when can I ask you questions? If you've discussed a particular topic, when can I ask you questions? The moment I ask you questions, it gives you feedback that, okay, she's being responsive, she's participating. Just like you give an interview and at the end of the interview, they ask you this. Do you have any questions? So you can ask that if I'm hired, then what will be my day-to-day responsibilities? Or I went through your website and this is what I read. Can you highlight certain points or can you explain? So the moment you do that, they will feel, okay, this candidate is a genuine candidate, seriously interested and asking questions related to the website. So then that will make a difference. The results from a 360 degree evaluation can often be used by communicators receiving the feedback to plan and map specific parts in their methods of communication. When I say 360 degree evaluation, that means I'm evaluating from all the fronts. See, take your own case. You communicate with a lot of confidence. You're very dominating when it comes to your subordinates. But when you actually speak to people at top management, You don't have the confidence. You lack confidence. You get nervous. You kind of hide certain information, though you know that you're supposed to mention it, but you take a lot of time to at least share certain type of information which could be negative in terms of what has happened. I just give you an example sometime back, with like negative sales figures. So you find it difficult to express that. So 360 degree evaluation is evaluation on all fronts. And that is important. So you have to, what I personally feel that if I want positive feedback from everybody, then I will introspect myself daily. I will ask myself, do I have the same confidence when I talk to seniors? And do I have the same confidence when I talk to my juniors? Do I have the same confidence and courage to express something which has not gone well to my seniors, asking them for guidance and advice, giving certain suggestions and views? Or do I again get very, you know, worked up and not really communicate with them because of my fear? So feedback is helpful information or criticism that is given to someone to say what can be done to improve a performance, product, etc. In human resources or industrial psychology, 360 degree feedback, also known as multi-rater feedback, multi-source feedback, or multi-source assessment, is feedback that comes from members of an employee's immediate work circle. So, lot of information comes from all the people whom you're dealing with. And this is of great help because when you get feedback from various sources, then that will make a big difference. Results are used by organization. Okay. When we say feedback is a major component in effective communication, results are used by some organizations in making administrative decisions related to corporate communication program. When this is the case, the 360 degree assessment is for evaluation purposes and is sometimes called 360 degree review. See, feedback, as we said, it is a response or reaction to a situation or a person. Feedback should be situation-centric and not person-centric. When I say feedback should be situation-centric, it means that I should discuss and focus more on the situation than the person. So when I give negative feedback to Mr. Johnson in relation to the team members who are not accomplishing their deadlines, when I give negative feedback to Mr. Johnson as to why he has been so irresponsible and why has he not really discussed certain challenges faced by his team members. So I keep telling Mr. Johnson, you can't handle a team. You're really good for nothing. You don't seem to have the skills to handle a team. Instead of that, let me make it situation-centric. If your team members cooperate with one another and cooperate with you, then we will see results. So understand the team members. Understand what is it that they're expecting. Have that ability to relate to them. So the moment I'm focusing on that, what am I doing? I'm giving feedback which is related to the situation. Feedback has to be situation-centric. Only then there will be an outcome. So 360 degree assessment is for evaluation purpose. I need to evaluate whether this is positive feedback or negative feedback. If it is negative feedback, what is a solution? There's a great deal of controversy as to whether the 360 degree feedback should be used for development purpose or also for appraisal. But irrespective, feedback plays a crucial role in listening. Feedback is highly required. Feedback serves the purpose because it is all about the result at the end of the day. Some points to be remembered while providing meaningful feedback. Be descriptive and not evaluative. Correcting someone by saying you made a serious mistake. It was not correct to scold the woman we appointed last week. The others present there were also shocked. This is evaluative feedback. Why? Because I'm telling you that why did you shout at this lady who was just hired last week? Instead of that, what can I say? We all need to keep a check on our anger. And we need to be able to relate and communicate if something has gone incorrect. Yes, I can be talking to you. I can say this. But this is feedback which is descriptive. I'm not judging you and telling you that why did you do this and you've made a serious mistake. I'm not telling you that. That means I'm judging you. But what I just said, that means I'm not judging you. But here the word serious mistake means I'm judging you. And feedback should not be evaluative. It should be descriptive. Okay? Descriptive feedback would be to say you were rather blunt with the saleswoman and did not provide the adequate evidence. Now you will say you were rather blunt is also pointing towards a person. But you know what? I'm not saying you made a mistake. Neither have I said that you have, talked in a manner which is not acceptable. I've just said you were blunt. And see again my tone. You were blunt with the saleswoman. Okay? You did not give her adequate evidence. We have to do that. So I'm not telling you something whereby I'm pointing your mistake. I'm guiding you and helping you to understand yourself and the situation. Providing feedback. Points to be remembered. Your feedback should be on what and how the other person said or did something, not on why it was done. When you ask why, you're challenging the motives or intent of a person, and that can generate resentment, suspicion, or distrust. So, see, when you are challenging anybody's motive or intention, then definitely, you're making the person feel inferior. You're making the person feel guilty about what he or she has done. You do not have to do that. You do not have to create that kind of a scenario. You have to have the ability to just simply understand that this person could have done better and could definitely give feedback in a manner which will seem more positive. Be certain your feedback relates to things that are under control of the person, that are under the control of the person, and therefore there is scope for improvement. Providing feedback on items not under control serves no purpose. Similarly, provide feedback on a few items at a time. Overload confuses and depresses the person. See, whenever I give you feedback, I have to use my logic and understand that let me give you feedback which is within your purview. Within your purview means feedback where I know you can improve. Feedback where I know you can ideally change for the better. But if I give you feedback where I know there's no scope of improvement and I keep repeating it, it'll not even make sense to you. You will feel what is happening. So feedback should be such that it should be within your scope of improvement. And when I give that kind of feedback to you where I know and I tell you that, so I'm sure you can improve on this. The very fact that when I say this in terms of giving you feedback, you will feel more confident to change for the better. And as we're saying that overload confuses, yes, I can't, just put 5-6 points together where you get confused, where you're wondering where do you need to improve, where you have already improved, what needs to be done. You should feel comfortable listening to what is told and have that confidence I can definitely change. Receiving feedback. Giving or receiving feedback in a particular job performance can be an emotional roller coaster if you let it be. Learn how to receive feedback gracefully, giving you emotional headspace to learn and grow from the experience. As I told you sometime back, and I'm again telling you this, I'm teaching since 16 years, but I always feel I'm ready to keep changing myself for the better, because I have to have that ability to keep improving. And how can I improve? By understanding my mistakes, if at all, by putting in effort to change, by realizing that there are so many ways for you to progress and move forward and change for the better. So that is within my control. And take criticism with a pinch of salt. When I say take criticism with a pinch of salt, just the way when you have food, too much salt can spoil the taste. No salt or less salt will make you feel, oh gosh, this doesn't seem right in some terms of taste. So take it with a pinch of salt. Take it in a manner whereby it's not impacting you at a level where you feel stressed, worried, or anxious. Then it's not serving the purpose. Summarize and reflect what you hear. When I'm being given negative feedback or constructive criticism is positive, but negative is destructive criticism, then I should reflect on it. I should think over it. Today I was told this. I think I should change, because if I've been told this for the second time, I definitely should change. Your feedback provider will appreciate that you are really hearing what they are saying. You are ascertaining that you are really hearing. That means, say you lean somewhat forward, it shows that you're an active listener. You are nodding your head continuously. That again shows that you're showing interest in what they're saying. You're listening attentively, though it's negative feedback. So they will feel, okay, she's really, you know, she or he has really decided to take in that negative feedback to improve. And before leaving the cabin, I will also mention that I'm sure I'll put in effort and change. That will make the person feel that you are receptive and your willingness to change for the better is something which you're ready to do. Ask questions to clarify. Nothing wrong if you ask questions. Focus on questions to make sure you understand the feedback. The more questions you ask, the more the sender will feel that you are putting in effort to actually understand the scenario. Ask for examples and stories that illustrate the feedback. So if they say that even last time you did not live up to deadlines, you'll say, last time? So when was that? No, that may not sound nice, but the moment you say last time, when was that? Oh, yes, yes. And then they'll remind you, because they'll feel, imagine, she or he doesn't even remember that last time the deadline was, you know, missed. So you know you are sharing meaning with the person providing feedback. The moment you are given examples and situations, then you will realize that, yes, this had happened and I need to improve. Just because a person gives you feedback does not mean that their feedback is right, but it does not mean that the feedback is wrong also. They see your actions but interpret them through their own perceptual screen. That means through their own perceptions and life experiences. Be approachable. People avoid giving feedback to grumpy individuals. So when you're given negative feedback, you do. Now, it shows up. It reflects you on you. Or you do. Now, that doesn't look nice. Be receptive, accept it. See, every time, if you're given negative feedback, then you have to decide that, is it that you're being targeted, or is it that you're genuinely, you know, making these mistakes? But once in a week or once in 25 days, if you're given negative feedback, you have to come on, accept and move on. But in a manner whereby you make changes for sure and changes immediately. You don't have to wait for another 20 days to make that change. Your openness to feedback is obvious through your body language, facial expressions and welcoming manner. So I just showed you certain facial expressions, which will be the deciding factor whether you're open to feedback or not. check with others to determine the reliability of the feedback. Check with people whom you trust, whom you have a rapport with, and most important, people who are your genuine well-wishers, because they have to genuinely think and care for you. So check with them. What do you need to do? How you can improve? They will be supportive for you, right? Remember, only you have the right and the ability to decide what to do with the feedback. But do not live in such arrogance and ego that you are not willing to accept negative feedback, that you can't seem to accept what is going on, and you are anti the opposite person who gives you negative feedback. So remember these tips when you provide or receive feedback. Try to show your appreciation to persons providing the feedback. I always feel even if someone is criticizing you, show your appreciation, because that criticism may change you for the better and you will remember it lifelong. So instead of being grumpy, instead of complaining, it is better that you take somebody else's words in a manner whereby you're convinced that you want to change. See, when someone gives you negative feedback, firstly, you have to be convinced enough to change. You have to be convinced enough to improve. And you firstly need to understand one most important point, that you have to be convinced that you are making such mistakes. If you're living in false world where you can't seem to accept that you were doing something incorrect, then you will never improve. And I personally feel no matter how much experience we all have, certain aspects we need to change for the better, right? Even your manager or supervisor may find giving negative feedback a huge task, because human beings are sensitive and sentimental. So how to give negative feedback? That is why it is always said, it's not what you say, it is how you say it. How are you putting forward something to a person which is negative? That holds a lot of weight. So you've constantly have to remind yourself that you've got to look into the sentiments of the other person. You have to be empathizing, but you can put forward information in a firm and assertive manner, and then let them realize that they need to change. You never know how the person receiving feedback is going to react. This is the problem. You don't have to react. You have to act. Act means I decide. Act is not that acting per se. You act. That means, what do you really want to say? Thank you so much, sir, for the feedback. I'm sure I will put in effort and improve. Because only since you mentioned it, now I can put in effort to change. That is what you should do. If you find yourself becoming defensive or hostile, stress management techniques such as taking deep breath and letting it out slowly will work. Defensive? I made this mistake. Did I? You're getting defensive. Why? You can't make a mistake? Of course you can. So what is there that makes you so defensive? Why can't you just say, yes, I realized, right? So it is really up to you. Conclusion. So in this chapter, besides understanding the importance of effective communication, especially in organizations, it is crucial to review that communication breakdown that may occur as a result of communication barriers. So communication breakdown can happen, but mostly or all the times it is because of the barriers, which can be self-created or otherwise. These barriers may be attributed to the sender or the receiver. Choosing the right channel of communication is important. So at the right time, using the right channel. If you feel that you can take interviews via phone as of now and then call people face to face after taking a lot of interviews via phone and then deciding, then it'll help you to actually understand the people who've come face to face, and then you can decide whom to really hire. So the right medium. Now, when I say right channel of communication, who says what to whom? A lot about superior subordinate communication, a lot about upward and downward communication. When I talk of upward communication, you're talking of communication from subordinates to top management. And when I talk of downward communication, you're talking of communication from top management to subordinates. Showing empathy to the audience and having the ability to be able to interpret appropriately can help to do away with a lot of communication barriers. So, be more compassionate to others. That is something that you need to look into. But not at the cost of people taking you for granted, not at the cost of work suffering, but definitely whereby you are doing everything so that people in your organization feel that sense of contentment, they feel happy being a part of your organization, they feel that nothing is restricting them from communicating with you, and they personally feel that since that environment or atmosphere is such where everybody is included and there's no one who feels excluded, then definitely a lot of barriers can be resolved. Thank you.